Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. I have a brand new book out by that title. It's actually a hardcover book, and it's been expanded. Some of you might have seen my old book on this that was a small book. I've expanded this to include a number of different things. And I tell you, this is just a truth that has changed my life. And I pray that you're really understanding how important this is. You know, I know that people don't always watch every single day, and so you just get little snippets. You don't always have the context of everything, and so something I may say today, it's really predicated on things that I've already taught, and it's possible that you might not get the full balance of it or the full influence of it. And then, of course, it's going to also continue. I'm going to continue on this for another week or two. And so because of that, what I'm trying to say is I really feel it's important for you to get the materials, either the book, the study guide, the CDs, the DVDs. We've also been offering a special book this week on You've Already Got It, my teaching on that. And so anyway, our announcer will give you all that information. But please take advantage of this because this is a life-changing truth. This has done as much to change my life as anything else. And I've had some people who've been part of some of the most influential ministries of our day, and they have come to work with me, and they say that in their estimation, this is the thing that really sets our ministry apart, is this understanding of the grace of God, and faith is our response to what God has already done by faith. And so that's not just my opinion. Other people have said that, and I really believe that this is just the heart of what God has given me to share, and I encourage you to get those materials. Now, yesterday I was using Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And I was making the point that God has already provided everything, that when we believe God and confess the Word and take actions of faith, that doesn't cause God to move. It just allows what God has already done to flow through us. I use this example of like a faucet. And on that faucet, you know, is a tap. The water is already in the pipes. The utilities company doesn't start turning on the water and send it to you when you turn the tap. No, it's already there. The tap just allows what has already been provided to flow through and then come out. And similarly, our faith doesn't make God move. God is already moved by grace. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on your holiness. You don't have to earn it. It's grace. It was there before you ever had the need. But that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to receive. You have to learn how to turn that tap. You have to do some things, but your doing doesn't make God move. God moved before you had the problem. Your doing only allows you to receive. And that's what this is talking about. He's just saying, "Thank you, God, because you have already blessed us with all spiritual blessings." You know, if I had time, you could go through every verse. In the next verse, it says, "According as He hath chosen us." And if you look at this in the Greek, it's already in the past tense. It would be more appropriate, or it would be appropriate to say it in the context of the points I'm trying to make. "According as He hath already chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Notice that this choosing of us took place before the foundation of the world, before you or I existed. Now, some people have taken this, and again, because I'm emphasizing grace, they just get over here to where, well, then it's all grace. So this is, God chose us before the foundation of the world. Some people are predestined to be saved. Other people are predestined to be damned. You don't have anything to do with it. Well, that just totally voids so many scriptures where the Lord says, "Whosoever will may come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up the door, I will come in." There's many, many scriptures that say, no, we have a part to play in it. But see, some people just ignore our part, that's faith, and they emphasize God's part to, well, it's just up to God. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. Well, there is a difference in God providing things by grace. He provided for the salvation of the entire world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says that He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The sins of everybody have been forgiven. Does that mean that they're saved? No, because it's not just grace. You're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. God, by grace, made the provision, paid for everybody's sins, even those who haven't received Him, but not everybody responds positively to God's grace. Not everybody puts faith in what Jesus has done, and therefore, even though the grace is there, it never changes them. They aren't saved. There are going to be multitudes of people go to hell, not because their sins weren't forgiven, but because they didn't believe and receive what was already provided. And see, this is what it's talking about. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. The next verse, verse 5, having predestinated us. Again, in the Greek, this is talking about it's already in the past tense. In verse 6, that we have been accepted in the Beloved, not that we can be or are going to be, or if we will do this and this and this, then God will accept us. No, we're already accepted. Everything in this whole book of Ephesians is in the past tense. It's telling you what's already been done. And if I had time, I could go through every verse and preach on every one of these verses. I encourage you to go back and study it, because this is a major paradigm shift to start seeing that everything is already done by grace. And now all we have to do is respond positively and believe it and act like it's so. And what has already been provided will flow through us, and we will see the manifestation of God's power. Let me drop on down to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, and I want to read this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And before I get into this, let me just make this statement. If you were to write a prayer today, let me just give this to you as an assignment, and don't go do it right now, but just think about what you would do. If I was to say, write a prayer that 2,000 years from now, believers will be reading this prayer, and you write a prayer for people that will live 2,000 years in the future, which is what happened with the Apostle Paul. We're nearly 2,000 years later. How would you write a prayer? What would you pray? How would you petition God for people 2,000 years in the future? Well, just based on my experience with people, it would be something along these lines. People would pray something like, oh God, just send a revival. Oh God, reach out and touch these people. Oh God, stretch forth your mighty hand. Do a new thing. Put a double portion on there. And the prayer would be something about, God, do this. God, move. God, send your power. God, do something. That's how most people pray. How did the Apostle Paul pray? I'm going to get into the specifics, but let me just summarize it by saying he didn't pray, oh, God, do something new. He prayed, God, show them what they've already got. Give them revelation of what you've already done. Major difference. I just can't emphasize how important this is. Most people just, they don't think about these things. They aren't focused on it. And so maybe this isn't making the full impact on you that it should, but this should be huge. Tremendous difference between petitioning God, no, God, you're the great I can be. You're the great I'm going to be, but you aren't the great I am. God, I believe you can heal me. You can move. Oh, God, please do that. That's how most people pray. It ought to be you are talking to the great I am, not the great I was or the great I'm going to be. But Jesus is right now. He has already provided everything, and it's just a matter of you receiving rather than trying to manipulate God and convince Him to do something. Boy, that's powerful. So look at his prayer in the 15th verse. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Boy, I could spend an hour on this. Let me just point this out, that most of Paul's prayer was giving thanks for them. Most people's prayer is not giving thanks. It's begging. It's asking. Oh, God, please do this. The vast majority, if you were to take your prayer and if you were to just pray your normal prayer and if you had somebody standing by just categorizing, what is your prayer about? I can guarantee you the vast majority of you would spend most of your time repenting, asking forgiveness, pleading for God to have mercy on you, to give you this, to give you that. And thanksgiving would be a very small part of most people's prayer, if it exists at all. And yet in Psalms 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Prayer should be, and this is, you know, I don't have a scripture that says this, but this is my own study of the scripture, my own personal example. I believe prayer, thanks ought to be 90% minimum of your prayer. It ought to be just thanking God for the good things that he does. Now, there is a place to ask. And believe it or not, I am going to deal with this as we continue through this series. And if you're coming up with this question, well, then why then does the Bible even tell us to ask? Then you are listening. You're beginning to get the points that I'm making, because that would be a logical question. And we'll deal with that more as we go through this. But look, he says in verse 16, he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, this is kind of a technicality, but let me just make this point, lest you get derailed by that or off subject. If you were to turn back to the first part of the book of Ephesians, some of those verses that I skipped over, in verse 8, it says, wherein he hath, this means already, past tense, abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So verses 8 and 9 show that God has already given us wisdom and prudence. Now put that together with verse 17, where he's asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Technically, he's already done this. He's already sent the Holy Spirit to explain and to reveal things to us. So technically, this isn't even correct that you have to ask God for this revelation. God wants you to have it more than you want to have it. But he just prays that what God has already provided would begin to start functioning in their life. So he's not asking God to touch them. God, give them a second work. Move, do this or that. You know, I go into a lot of Pentecostal, charismatic, faith churches. I don't know what the proper terminology is. But people who believe in the power of God. And if I was to go into the average church and take the scripture where Elijah gave a double portion of the spirit that was on him to Elisha, and Elisha did twice as many recorded miracles as Elijah did. And if I was to go back to 2 Kings and record in chapter 2 and use that and teach on this, and then go into the average Pentecostal, faith church, charismatic, whatever you call them, church, and say, how many of you want a double portion? How many of you want God to touch you and to do something new in your life? And you need more of God. And if I was to go in and preach that, I could get nearly everybody to come forward, because that is such a commonly held belief. Did you know in the Old Testament it was appropriate? Elijah did not have the fullness of God. Therefore, he only had a small portion of it, and it was possible for Elisha, his successor, to have a double portion. But in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that his fullness, we have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us bodily. And as these verses, I'm going to go through and continue to read this, we have everything that Jesus had. We are identical unto him. We have his faith, his power, his everything. In the New Testament, you have the fullness of God on the inside of you bodily. You cannot get twice of everything. It was appropriate in the Old Testament to get a double portion and to have more. But in the New Testament, you've got it all. And so, my point is that if I was to give a message like this and ask people to come forward so you could get twice the Holy Spirit, twice the anointing, twice the faith, twice of something, most people would respond because they don't believe that God by grace has already provided it, and they think that there's all of these things. I'm telling you that God, in the inside, in the spirit man, you are as full of God as you can possibly get. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. It didn't say, so are we going to be in the next world. So are we in this world. Now, that's not true in your physical body. It's not true in your mind and your emotions, but in your born-again spirit, the part of you that old things have passed away, all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that part of you, it has the fullness of God in it. You are identical to Jesus. You can't get any more. Therefore, you don't need more. You don't need a double portion. You don't need God to come and touch you. You're already touched. Amen. You're touched in the head. You just don't know. We haven't renewed our minds. Man, I pray that you're getting what I'm saying. You don't need God to do something. What you need is a revelation of what God has already done. Man, that's powerful. And see, that's what Paul's praying. He's praying, God, just give them revelation and wisdom and understanding in what they have. In verse 18, it says, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Notice it didn't say the riches of the glory that you have waiting for them in heaven, in eternity, that they would see what their future is going to be, that they could see what their potential is. No, He's praying that you would get a revelation of the riches of the glory of His inheritance, which is in the saints. In Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 18, it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It didn't say the glory that shall be revealed to us. It's not like when we get to heaven, then we're going to see the glory and the splendor of heaven and it's going to compensate. It says the glory that shall be revealed in us. The truth is you already have the fullness of God. In your spirit, you are as perfect as Jesus is. You're as powerful as Jesus is. You have His faith, His anointing, His power. You've already got all of these things in your spirit. The only thing is we haven't got our tap, our faucet, our mind renewed, so it doesn't allow what we have in the spirit to come out fully and completely. Most of us don't know who we are in the spirit. We don't think in the spirit realm. We are carnal, only looking at the physical things. And so we evaluate ourselves based on how much of the power of God is actually working physically, externally in our life, and think that that's all that we've got. But the truth is, you have the fullness of the Godhead in you. You already have the riches of the glory of His inheritance. It's in you now. When you get to heaven, what's going to happen is you're going to get a renewed mind and you'll know all things also as you are known. You will have a glorified body that won't be subject to doubt and temptation and pains and all of these kind of things. Your soul and your body are going to change, but your spirit isn't going to change. It's perfect right now. And if you could ever understand this. See, this is the whole way that Paul is praying. Oh, God, he didn't say, oh, God, give them more power. He's praying, God, show them what they've got. Show them that they already have the riches of the glory of your inheritance. It's in the saints. You know, if something happened and you were to lose what you have in Christ, and if God had to replace it, it would bankrupt heaven to replace what's on the inside of you. You have the glory of God on the inside of you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that you have been called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not something that's going to happen. It's right here. The riches of the glory of this inheritance is in you now. And I know some of you are thinking it's not in me. If it was in me, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't. Jesus said in John chapter 3, that which is spirit, that which is flesh." You can't know spiritual things by your five senses. All you can do is monitor the external. You know, if you'd go back to this example I gave about a water tap, a faucet, All we are doing is looking at the faucet and we're seeing if anything's coming out of it. But that doesn't tell you what's in the pipes behind that tap. In the pipes, there is this water. There is the power of God. In your spirit, you do have the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in you. But the problem is it's got to pass through your brain. And most of our brains are crossways to what God is saying. Therefore, from our perspective, we still have pain and sickness instead of healing. But the truth is, just inches away, you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what it goes on to say in the next verse. He says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? The word according to means in proportion to or to the degree of. So you have the working of His mighty power according to in proportion to, it says in the next verse, the power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and etc., etc. You have the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If you were to somehow or another put the power of God on some kind of a meter that could measure it, like one of these VU meters or something, you know, creation was an awesome thing. To think that God created the heavens and the earth and created man and created this, everything that we see, that's awesome. But that's nothing compared to the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. When God created the heavens and the earth, there was no opposition. There was no opposing force. When God raised Jesus from the dead, Satan, the strongest force in the universe outside of God, muscled all of his power and authority and was trying to keep Jesus from being raised from the dead. And yet, man, the power of God overcame Satan, his whole kingdom, and destroyed him. So the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the greatest demonstration of the power of God that the universe has ever known. And you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And it's not in just a minute form and it's got to grow and increase and stuff. No, you are growing and increasing in your mind and your understanding of it and your ability to cooperate and release it. There is growth in the Christian life, but it's not your spirit that's growing. It's your mind that is being renewed and learning how to walk in the things of God. And it's you that's learning how to obey and cooperate with God in your physical body. The growth is taking place in the soulish and in the physical body realm. But your spirit is as potent, as powerful as Jesus is at his resurrection the very moment you get born again. Man, that ought to make a statue shout. That ought to put a bounce in your step. That ought to excite you. You know, and I can just guarantee you this. If you're depressed, you aren't thinking on things like this. You aren't thinking of who you are in Christ. You are looking at that spigot again. You're looking at the end results. You're seeing nothing coming out and you're depressed about it. You aren't going past that tap into seeing what's in that pipe. You've got everything that you need on the inside of you. God has already placed it there, but you just haven't renewed your mind to it. And somebody says, so what's the difference? One way or the other, I still don't have what I need. Oh, man, it's awesome. The difference when you understand that everything you need is already in the pipe and all you got to do is get that faucet turned. That is completely different than thinking that the well is dry and that you got to go dig a new well. You got to do something to get the water flowing. No, the water is already there. All you got to do is renew your mind, cooperate, believe. Man, it makes all of the difference in the world. I'm out of time again today, but I am going to continue to talk about this on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in. I'll be continuing this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about my book on grace and faith, my study guide, my CDs, my DVDs, and we also have this companion teaching on You've Already Got It. Listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This 5-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The third teaching in the CD album titled Grace, A Done Deal is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA25C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things I'm sharing with you on television are like the tip of an iceberg. There is just so much more to this. In some ways, it's really frustrating to try and teach this in little 30-minute segments. So that's the reason we offer our product. But really, the best way that I have to get people grounded in this is our Charis Bible Colleges. And I tell you, we're seeing great results. We now have around 500 people at our home base here in Colorado Springs. We have 13 different schools scattered around the world and hundreds and thousands of people participating through correspondence course. This is the best way I have to get these truths established in you. So I'd like to encourage you to pray about it. Call the number that you see on your screen and inquire about one of our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of you. It's not available to you out there in the heavens, far off, with the possibility that you might not get it. You've got it. If you are born again, if you have made Jesus your Lord, you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And if you aren't seeing that power manifest in your body, it is not because God hasn't given it.